Well, it's good to see all of you again. So such a privilege to be able to come, and certainly appreciate your pastor allowing me to come this morning. Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter number 1. We enjoyed the testimonies. What a blessing.
Amen.
Thank God for that. You could have testified all morning. It wouldn't have bothered me a bit. And I certainly appreciate it and thank the Lord for it. Bring your attention, if we can. We'll start reading verse number 4, please. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thank God for that. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, and as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. That's as far as we'll read this morning. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the wonderful service thus far. I pray that you please, Lord, honor thy word for a few moments this morning. Speak to hearts, Lord. If there's somebody here that's not been saved by the grace of God, their lives have never been changed through the blood of Jesus Christ, I pray that you please speak to them, Lord, this morning, and show them, Lord, what they are without you and what they can be with you, Lord. And I pray that you'd be magnified and honored in this place. For those of us that are saved, please, Lord, I pray, strengthen us through these truths this morning. In Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I want to bring your attention, if I can, this morning to this chapter, and I'll turn to a few more, but I want to bring your attention, if I can, to a particular thought, and I want to bring that out, if I can, out of verse number 17 and 18. Look there with me, if you will. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I want to deal with this thought this morning, the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ. Now, in Scripture, this is a fundamental and a foundational doctrine of the Bible. One would need to believe this in order to be saved by the grace of God. For we do not serve a dead Savior. We do not go to a person that is dead to save us from our sins, but bless his holy name. He is alive forevermore, it says in this passage of Scripture. The resurrection is a essential doctrine that we are taught and believe. Thank God for that. In the Scriptures. And I want to bring that to our attention this morning and try to just focus on that aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage of Scripture that we have read this morning, there are several references to this. But there's also in other places in the Scripture this is represented as well. And you know those things. I'm sure they've come to your mind as I've told you what I want to deal with this morning. And so we will look at this. I know it's a fundamental aspect, and we are familiar with this. But we need to be reminded, I believe, and this needs to be emphasized in our world because there are so many people in our world do not understand the gospel. They do not have a comprehension of what Christ has done and who he is and all the things pertaining to him. It is an essential aspect when we mention the word gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection is part of that description. And we see that throughout Scripture. And in this chapter alone, we see it multiple times as we have read this morning. Look back with me, if you will, in this chapter we've read, and let me just bring a few of them to your attention. Speaking of the resurrected Christ. It says in verse number 5, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. There's a reference to Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. That same terminology is seen in Colossians 1:18. Also, we come on down to verse number 7, and it says, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall be well because of him. Here's another reference to the resurrected Christ. For if he was still dead in the grave, this would not be a possibility. It says every eye shall see him because he's coming with the clouds. The Bible tells us that as he went away, so he'll come again. One preacher said he stepped on a cloud and went to glory, and he's coming back that way again. Amen. In verse number 8, it speaks of his resurrection. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Amen. There we see again the resurrected Christ in this passage of Scripture that we have read this morning. Look at verse number 10, if you will, please. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he mentions all the different churches there in that passage of Scripture. But here in this verse, he's speaking again, showing again that Jesus Christ not only died, thank God he did, and not only was buried, yes he was, but he resurrected, amen, and is alive forevermore. We see here in verse number 17, look there if you will please. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. So here we see multiple times in this first chapter of the book of Revelation, we see the resurrected Christ over and over and over again. We must understand the importance of this. We must magnify that. Sometimes, I've been raised in church all my life. Before I got saved, I was taken to church. Thank God for that. And then once I got saved, I fell in love with the church and wanted to go to church. So I've been in church my whole life. There's never been a time when I doubted the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But some have not heard. Most have not heard the truth. And some have heard some of the truth, but it's been distorted in many ways. And I think we ought to clarify that when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're speaking not only of his death and not only of his burial, but also of his resurrection. I tell you, he overcame the grave and death, and Jesus Christ is alive. And the writer said here, forevermore, thank God. There'll never be another time when he won't be alive. And yes, he died for a short period. Yes, he did. He had an earthly body. God robed himself in flesh and came to this world so that he could suffer and bleed and die for the sins of the world. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you, the scripture says here, he said of himself, I am alive forevermore. Thank God. And the scriptures tell us, you say, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Well, Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, you know these verses, but let me remind you of them if I can. The essential aspect of the resurrection. He says this in chapter number 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, some people didn't believe it. And so he said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. The importance of the resurrection, it is an essential doctrine that if Christ be not risen, if Christ was still in the grave, our preaching would be vain and our faith would be vain. He goes on to say, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. So there Paul is emphasizing the necessity of us understanding the resurrection is essential to our salvation. Because if Christ be not risen, none of us have our sins washed away. None of us are fit for heaven. None of us have been made righteous in the sight of God. I'm telling you, our faith is vain and our sins are still remaining upon us if Christ be not risen. Then he says this in verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those that they had put their faith in Christ, that they had hoped that they would see them again, he said, if Christ be not risen, those people have perished. But this is what he says. Verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is all there is to it, if all there is to our existence is living here on this earth, and with all the sin and the degradation and all the ungodliness, even in ourselves, if all of that is all there is to it, I'm telling you, we are miserable. The Bible says we are of all men most miserable. But praise God, he doesn't stop there. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You and I understand that the Apostle Paul is showing here in this passage of Scripture the absolute essential doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that, don't you? I thank God for that, that he's risen. I praise God that we serve a risen Savior. Most religions are trying to worship somebody that's dead and are still dead and will always be dead. But you and I, who we serve, those of us that are saved by the grace of God, we serve a risen Savior, the songwriter says. And praise God, he's alive forevermore. Everything we believe rests upon that. Everything that the scriptures proclaim rests upon that. The essential aspect of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in the scripture, this is shown by different means. And I want to deal with three of those this morning if I can, and I won't be long at all. But the scriptures teaches us the resurrection of Christ is shown and known by different things, and I want to deal with them this morning. First of all, it's known, the resurrection of Christ is known by witnesses. You and I must understand that a witness is somebody that gives testimony, an attestation to a fact. You say, how can somebody give a testimony, be a witness of the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Well, the scripture's full of that aspect. The scripture tells us over and over about that. The gospels proclaim it. And we see that in the gospels. I'm not going to take time to turn to that this morning, but I will turn to a couple of places in the book of Acts where it's said very plainly about witnesses. There are witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, we could have on the way down here this morning came upon a wreck on the highway, and we'd see there was a wreck, but we didn't know what happened. We wouldn't have known what happened. Because we were not witnesses of that wreck. We didn't see it. We didn't know what happened. We weren't there when it happened. But the Bible proclaims and tells us there are witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Praise God. Amen. And this is, there's many, many, many. I don't have time to deal with them all this morning. But I will bring your attention to a couple. This is seen in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 33. It says, and with great power God gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great grace was upon them. I'm telling you, they witnessed because they'd seen the resurrected Christ. And if you'd seen the resurrected Christ like they had, you can say with all boldness that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So I heard one man is not even saved. He said, why would those people that claim to know Jesus Christ allow themselves to go through all the torture and torment and even be killed for the testimony of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you the reason they did. Because many of them saw the resurrected Christ and they knew for a fact that he had risen from the dead. So they gave themselves to that. There were witnesses, many, many witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. This is what the Apostle Paul said back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Listen to the way he words this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye have kept in memory that which I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Thank God he did. And that he was buried. Yes, he was. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. Now listen to what he says. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some have already died. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Here we see the fact that the witnesses of Jesus Christ affirm the truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They saw him.
They had opportunity to touch him. He ate with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. They had seen the risen Christ. So Jesus Christ, his resurrection, is proven and shown by witnesses under that fact. Praise God for that. Amen. Those men and women had seen the risen Lord. You remember the accounts in the Gospels where Mary came to him. She didn't know who he was, and he spoke to her, and she knew immediately that it was the Lord had risen from the dead. Amen. There's more authoritative witnesses than those witnesses. This is what the Bible says in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 29. It says this, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said," this is when they were persecuted and they were given account for their actions. He said, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." There he is, testifying and witnessing that again. "Him hath God exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things." There they are testifying that they are witnesses. They have seen it. They have given a testimony to the fact that Christ has risen. But it doesn't stop there. It says this, and this is interesting to me. Verse number 32 says again, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Not only were these men and women that were saved by the grace of God giving testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ has risen, they were witnesses. They saw him. They knew it happened. But they weren't the only ones. The Holy Ghost was a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Amen. Yes. Now you might doubt a person, but you cannot doubt the fact the Holy Ghost is true. He is a witness that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. The aspects that we can justify this truth that Christ is the resurrected Savior, first of all, is by witnesses. And those witnesses were true. Also, we also see that the truth that Christ has risen from the dead, not only by witnesses, but also by writings. And I'm talking about this writing, the Word of God. And if someone refuses to believe the Bible as true, I can't do a thing with that. I can't make them believe something that they don't want to believe. I can't force them to believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again. I can't make them do that. But I'm telling you, if they'd be willing to believe what the Scriptures say and believe what God has written down in His Word, then they would know for sure, if they believe this book, that Christ has risen from the dead. And these things are shown to us not only by witnesses, but by writings. I've mentioned a couple of times before the Gospels. I won't take time to venture into them and go back and read all the aspects of those testimonies and the truth that's written in the Gospels about the resurrected Lord. But nevertheless, the writings of the Bible, the truth of Scripture proves and points out to us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Here in this passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter number 1, this is what it says. "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." Here we see that there's another testimony. In the writings, in the Scriptures, in the Holy Writ, we see that God is pinned down in His Word and showing us and testifying to the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. There's no need for us to doubt that. We ought to rejoice in that. I tell you, Christ has risen. Amen. You're talking about the greatest news that those apostles had ever heard. They buried the Lord Jesus, their hope, put him in a grave. Everybody else had done that too. It was the end of them. But oh, I'm telling you, when they heard the glad news that Christ is risen, oh my. You're talking about hopes springing up. You're talking about truth that penetrated their soul. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has risen. You and I weren't back in those days. We don't have that privilege of seeing him with our physical eyes. But we can see him with our eyes upon the pages of God's Word. I'm telling you, God's Word is true. And Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. We know that from the writings. Amen. Man. The truth of the Scripture has given us those truths and pointed out those things to us, made it very plain and specific. There's no need to doubt that if you believe the Bible, because the Bible says it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. Praise God for that. This is what the writer of the Hebrews says. Verse number 2 of chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, he died for our sins. But that wasn't the end. And is set down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm telling you, that's a live person. That's a person that has risen from the dead, that has ascended up into glory. The book of Acts tells us that Jesus told them, gave them truth before he ascended. It was a risen Lord that went up to glory, and now it's a risen Lord that sits at the right hand of God. I'm telling you, we serve a risen Savior, and we know that from the writings that God has given us. By the writings that he's given us. Say, preacher, I don't think he's alive. He died and they buried him. That was the end of it. Oh, no, friend. Not if you believe the Bible. Not if you believe this book that we are looking at this morning. The truth of Scripture shows this resurrected Christ over and over and over again. For if Christ had not risen from the dead, if Christ had not come back to life after he was crucified, Christ could not come back to take his children away. Christ could not judge and judge the wicked. Christ could not reign forever and ever if he was still dead in the grave. But praise be unto God, the writings of the Scriptures let us know that Jesus Christ has risen. Amen. He's risen from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. So that is seen, the resurrected Christ. If one would pay attention, they would see that he is resurrected and risen from the dead by his witnesses. They would see that he is risen from the dead by the writings. But last of all, I want you to think about this thought with me. He is risen from the dead. A testimony of that, a witness of that is by we ourselves. We ought to be a shining light to the world that we serve a risen Savior. If we do not have a testimony where somebody can look at us and say, I'm telling you, that person, they must serve a risen Savior because their lives have been changed. If somebody says they're saved and their lives have never changed, I have no credibility in that. No faith in that whatsoever. Say, preacher, why do you say that? Because I know what happened to me. I'm no different than anybody else. I was a sinful man, ungodly and wicked. I'd heard the truth and pushed it aside. I wanted to live my own life. I wanted to do my own thing. I was unconcerned about Christ and the church and even eternity. You would think eternity would make somebody think soberly about it. But I'd heard all the truth and I didn't care. And I had friends that were right in the same boat with me. They were lost without God just like I was. When I got saved, I tried to tell them about the Lord. And they might have questioned and wondered, what in the world's going on with Randy? What's the big change about him? And I hoped what they really saw was he's serving a risen Savior. There's something different about him now. He's different than he was before. The songwriter says it this way. We sing this song often. He lives. It says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. That's been testified in the testimonial part of the service this morning. But the songwriter goes on to say, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Now men can't see that. They can see the expression of that in our lives. But if somebody said, I don't believe you're saved, I don't think anything you say is true, you sin just like everybody else. You have your faults and failures, and we do. We do make mistakes. We do sin. Not like the world. Once you get saved, you don't do those same old things. Praise God for that. That's in our past. But they can look at my life and say, I don't believe anything you have to say. But one thing they cannot deny is the writings and the witnesses that preceded us. If they don't want to look at my life and let me tell them where the Lord brought me from, if I can share my testimony with them and tell them what the Lord has done for me, and they say, I don't believe any of that, I'd say, well, disregard all that, but let me tell you some truths that you can believe in. And I point them to the writings, and I point them to the witnesses, and the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and well this morning. Bless his holy name. We do serve a risen Savior. We must make much of this doctrine of Scriptures, the resurrected Christ. Paul said, if he be not risen, our faith is in vain. But he is risen. Praise God, we can put our faith and trust not in a man like you and me, but in the God-man, Jesus Christ. If you believed everything I said and had your faith in me, it would benefit you nothing. But if you'll put your faith in the one the witnesses talked about and the one the writings talked about and the change it made in my life and in yours if you're saved, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. May God help us to make much of that, to rely upon that, to rest upon that, to walk every day with that reality in our heart. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment, please? Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I'm glad that we serve a risen Savior this morning. Lord, I pray that people that are not saved would turn to this Christ that's risen from the dead, that gave himself upon the cross of Calvary to die for their sins, that was buried in a grave and in a tomb and then was come alive again the third day. Lord, I pray that they would realize that if they put their faith in him, it would not be a faith that's in vain, but it would be a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us that are saved to remember this truth. Let it strengthen us and help us in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.